Geekily Yoked is a proud member of the Crossover Nexus. To find more blogs and podcasts about the intersection of faith and pop culture, check out crossovernexus.com. Tell them Bilbo sent you.
So many ways to say I love you in different languages across the land. You haven't heard them all, so I'll tell you as only a true geek can.
Hello and welcome to Geekily Yoked, the world's best married Christian geek podcast.
We are still here.
That's right. We've been on something of an extended hiatus, shall
we're
we say?
Sorry.
We have, in fairness, been moving.
It's the worst.
And moving.
The worst.
Rachel got some good mileage out of her gag about, what was it, this sermon today, the poor woman, the widow at the treasury and giving up all one's worldly goods and how moving makes you feel like you shouldn't have worldly goods.
It's true.
Something along those lines. This is going to be a semi-coherent episode, everyone, because despite the fact that we've had about a good month and a half vacation from the show, our brains are still very addled.
We've been moving.
But we have such a fun new home.
It's lovely.
There's still boxes. I can
And why do we have more stuff?
Because stuff enhances our
life.
And
we gave away so much stuff.
We did give... That is
what
is
amazing. But why didn't we give away more of the stuff?
Well, we tried. There's just so much.
Well, I also think part of the problem is that by the time we got, like, towards the end, there was a whole bunch of stuff that we would have given away, except that we had wonderful, amazing friends who came over that last night to help us pack. And without those people coming, we would not have gotten ourselves packed.
Yes.
And into the moving truck.
Yes.
But it also means they just, like, anything that wasn't nailed down, they ended up throwing into boxes.
Yes, very. So, that's, like, that's
the last
true.
Four or five boxes are just, like, full of things that I probably would have thrown away if I had been, like...
Well, we sort of...
I think there was actually one box of the stuff that they packed up that I finally just, like, threw out to the attic sale at the church as we were leaving and was like...
We don't need any of these.
I was like, I was gonna throw, like, I was planning to give away 90% of everything in the box, and I was like, the rice cooker can just go. We'll get another one.
There's just a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. And just when you're in the moving mood, you're just, your brain is kind of addled. You don't trust yourself. So it's like, I could get rid of this, but what if I'm going to really, really need this box set of Get Smart?
Why are you mocking my box set of Get Smart?
It's just...
That is a memento of Amanda's newborn days.
That is
when
true.
I was home alone for hours with nothing but an internet connection and too much time on my hands and saw it was for sale on Amazon.
Oh, that wasn't even a gift. That was just something you got?
No, that was just I was sitting home with a newborn baby on my lap and nothing to do. And I think I was doing, like, all of our Christmas shopping on Amazon.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't really leave the house
because
we were, like, iced in. So I saw Get Smart.
How does it hold up, Rachel?
It's really, you can't really binge watch it.
It's weird. Because it's the same episode.
Yeah, like, it's every episode is just the same episode with, like, the same six jokes. It's like reading a Kathy comic strip.
Yeah.
But it's sort of delightful, and I can't get rid of it because it is, like, a token to that very strange period in my life.
That's fair enough.
Before I went on my Amazon... I don't want to call it an Amazon boycott because that's way too strong a word.
You're trying,
like,
to avoid using Amazon.
As a spiritual discipline, I am not purchasing from Amazon at the moment.
Indeed.
As, like, at least for a year. I'm trying to give it, like, so I just have to get through the Christmas. That's my, is to go a year without buying anything.
Without supporting Bezos?
I mean, partially it's a not wanting to support that. That model, but it's also like it's partially not wanting to support that model, particularly the labor issues around, like, how the wear, like, in order to get the products to you as quickly as they do, the, like, fairly inhumane business practices, but also just, like, as a gesture towards our desire, our society of consumption and the what Amazon represents in that, like, you have a desire and then it can get like...
Instant gratification?
Instant gratification and any impulse can be filled and, like, I just don't like
it's what it says. It's the closest we have to the replicator technology.
Basically. And just, I don't know. I think there's just something unhealthy about it on a number of, like... environmental to spiritual levels.
And it's funny because we've been talking a lot about Uber in the, over like the last week.
Yes.
And I mean, the seeds of Uber and the seeds of not, sort of the sharing economy and the disruptive economy can be seen in Amazon, right? I mean, Amazon really sort of went out of its way to provide this kind of super fast, super cheap, you know, they've been like, you know, making losses off of their sales division for years. There is a kind of sharing economy quality in terms of their sort of, you know, you can sell things through Amazon.
Yeah.
But that again, that we're talking about the sort of the disruptive labor practice, the disruptive sort of economic and practice and going after traditional, you know, brick and mortar retailers. I remember I worked at a bookstore and Amazon was, you know, people would be like, why can't you meet Amazon's prices? It's like, well, because they're taking giant losses that we can't take. But I remember, you know, when they were had this weird promotion where you could go in with your phone and take a picture of an item in a store and send it to them and they would give you a cheaper price.
Wow.
So it was just, it was really kind of strange and predatory. And, you know, there's just, again, this desire to disrupt and to be the bleeding edge of technology and convenience. But at what cost, sort of institutionally, I guess. So... I support you. I think I've managed to avoid using Amazon. Like every time you bring this up, I'm like, oh, did I use Amazon for a thing? I think I've mostly avoided it. I may have used Amazon to buy my new...
Yeah, I think the exceptions would be going through Amazon to buy like our friends' books that are basically only available through Amazon.
Oh, there's that. Yes.
I think that would be the one exception that I have.
I'm trying to remember if I used Amazon or eBay to purchase my microphone. Mm. But anyway, yes, I as well have been trying to steer clear as best I can. But since we've been away for a while, and since our last episode was all about Kenyan, we thought now we should do a sort of retrospective look at Toronto.
By now we thought we should do a retrospective, you mean 30 seconds ago?
We did see a movie.
Okay.
We did in the interim period.
We did see a movie. What was the date on which we saw that movie?
We saw the movie well within the ability for us to have podcasted in a timely fashion about it. But then I think I ran off to Portland.
And, oh, that's right. That was the other thing that happened.
Yeah, because it's been a while.
Yes, that movie we saw was on my birthday in September.
Is that far back?
Yes.
No, we've done an episode in October, haven't we?
Well, all I'm saying is, yes, I think we did. We did our Kenyan episode. So my point is that we saw Inside Out.
Yes.
Like 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
Which does not make for
good. Oh, September 13th. So it has...
Our last episode was September 13th. Excellent.
So I was like, I think October, but no, that
we
was
we still are around. That's we're when sorry,
I
did my blog.
Well, and also, I think we've been getting a lot of new viewers or people somehow? Coming because either folks linking to this because of your new job or people Googling you.
Oh, yeah. We never actually introduced myself and introduced ourselves and I have like a new job and everything.
That's right. Well, we talked about it in our I guess Kenyan episode. But for those of you who this will be the first episode and we apologize. Rachel, who are you?
I am a priest no longer in the Anglican Church of Canada. That hurts a little bit.
Oh, that's right. You got to change that up.
I know. I am an Episcopal priest, a parish priest and college chaplain in Ohio.
And I'm still a stay-at-home dad and H.P. Lovecraft impersonator. So my...
I think I'm actually in a no man's land. Sorry, not to interrupt your...
Yes?
Well, no, like but like Ohio? I've been... No, but I've been released from the Diocese of Toronto, but I haven't formally become canonically resident in Ohio. So I am a
free
woman...
Free agent.
I am a woman without a country or a diocese.
You're like Tom Hanks in one of my favorite movies.
I hate that movie so
of
much.
Of all time.
I hate... This Ba-ba. Is our... You reconcile that stupid movie and the other stupid depressing movie. You know what I'm talking about.
I see. I like a lot of depressing movies. Which one? There's a few I could
Kevin
mention.
Kevin Spacey is involved.
But you calling all ages. No, how can you not love Pan
I
Forward?
I can't stand that movie.
Haley Joel Osment. Helen Hunt?
Oh, it's such sentimental schlock.
John Bon Jovi?
As the mean, abusive schlock. Husband? Oh, it's trying too hard.
John Bon Jovi at the height of the John Bon Jovi songs.
Trying too hard. There was a John Bon Jovi songs.
Wasn't he the romantic lead on Ally McBeal for a while?
I cannot even tell you.
I think for like 5 minutes in the late 90s, early 2000s, America fell in love with John Bon Jovi again.
Anyway, we have irreconcilable differences.
So you're the one who brought up the fact that you're a priest with no country.
It's true.
Free agent. A sheriff with no badge. But you do have a badge, and you do...
Do I have a badge?
Well, you've got a faculty ID.
Oh, that's true.
And a parking permit. So you're not exactly, you know, the Ronin of priests. But if you can call yourself the Ronin of priests, that'll make you feel better.
Where are we going with this?
Toronto.
Toronto, yes. Retrospective. We got to visit Toronto this weekend.
Yes, we did. I wasn't sure if we wanted to talk about that.
Maybe let's not talk about that.
Well, we could just say we did a bit of a dry run.
A dry
road
run.
Trip.
Yes, exactly. For what will hopefully be my citizenship ceremony next weekend.
Indeed.
Yes.
We got to see lots of Ohio and bits of rural Pennsylvania. We got to eat at a Cracker Barrel.
We did get to eat. And then I realized why we don't eat at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, but chicken and dumplings. And the bizarre gift store. It's trying to explain Cracker Barrel to Canadians is like trying to explain.
Although, I will say, trying to explain
American opposition to healthcare.
Yes, exactly. I have been amazed being back in the Midwest that biscuits and gravy are a thing again.
Did they go away?
They didn't go away. I didn't realize they were such a Midwestern thing. Like, I wasn't expecting to find ubiquitous biscuits and gravy in Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Mm.
I was thinking they were like a Southern thing, which is very exciting because while I love, love, love many things about Canada and my adopted homeland, they do not exactly get biscuits and gravy.
Or biscuits
and... Or even milk gravy. They do not understand the concept of milk gravy.
Are biscuits and gravy the poutine of American South and Midwest?
I guess. Equally unhealthy?
Still involving gravy?
Gravy and carbohydrates.
I'm down with it.
But yeah, like, I mean, it does... And like, country fried steak does kind of look like someone threw up on your plate.
Yes, that's very true.
But it is sort of the most amazing thing ever.
Well, we're back in the land where all food is just kind of gray. Right? And that's what we miss. We miss just sort of getting a plate of gray.
Speaking of which, we also got to go to Fiesta Mexicana.
That's right. We got to relive some of our glory
days.
The
place of our first date.
That was our first date. We saw that and...
Just speaking of other foods that come out in like a gray...
And our first Pixar movie.
Oh, bringing it full circle.
Yes.
See? Well done. Good
see,
job.
That's how I do. That's what I'm here for.
That was Monsters... Inc. Yes.
We didn't see Monsters University.
I was like, not University.
And not Monsters Ball.
No,
I think our first dates were Monsters, Inc. and then Chocolat, a movie that we have never decided to revisit.
No. So we saw Inside Out. Which destroyed us.
It did destroy us a bit.
Because moving and
what,
daughter.
A movie about a small girl who's traumatized by her parents' cross-country move? Why would that be problematic for us?
Yeah. But I don't know if it's still fresh enough in our minds to make for useful podcasting.
We liked it.
It was good. Go see it. Except...
It's not going to be in theaters. It was barely in theaters when we went to see it.
I think we saw the last showing in Toronto.
Well, sort of, it was a thing of seeing either that or Jurassic World, I think. We were going to be seeing something with a Parks and Recreation character. That was the important thing.
Speaking of Mindy Kaling.
What? She's not on Parks and Recreation?
No, but she was in Inside Out.
Yes, that's fair.
Hulu.
Oh, Hulu! Yes. Yes, we are now that we are back in America, we have access to American internetery, which
Hulu!
Means expanded Netflix, Hulu at all. And is there anything else that we've been taking advantage of?
Just the fact that Nature Box?
Well, okay, you signed up for Nature Box because you are a sucker and you have been listening to
it
podcasts.
It was tasty. I've had to spend years of every podcast telling me about these delectable treats that were eluding me.
Did you also sign up for audible.com?
I had already done that.
Oh, pfft. Okay, well done.
But after getting my first free audiobook, I realized that I was just spending money. And then I think, like, I finally, after, like, 4 months of paying for it every month but not actually getting my book every month, I finally canceled it. And I did use all those credits.
Yes.
To get, but then I don't know what happened to the books that I downloaded. They're hidden somewhere.
I'm hopefully you will one day find it. And some, yes. During our next move, no doubt.
Yeah, there you go. Toronto Retrospective?
Toronto Retrospective. Rachel, when did you move to Toronto?
I moved to Toronto in September 2004.
What was it like?
Canadian?
Yes. Well, because you had visited there with Amanda, not our Amanda, but original Macromanda. Amanda. Macromanda.
As opposed to Micromanda.
Because you guys had gone up together to sort of look around, right?
Yeah, find an apartment. And oh, the room that I got.
You've had some interesting housing experience.
I have had some. Well, like, I mean, it's interesting because we've always landed in interesting housing arrangements that have, like, I don't remember the last time I've had to hunt for a house.
No, precisely.
But that one in that first year I lived in Toronto, that was a special kind of special.
Your closet?
Well, I mean, it was a room that was about half the size of the room that we are now sitting in. And the landlady who went through my garbage and made comments about very personal things.
Indeed.
After going through my garbage. And then that was awesome.
And then you had your housemates whose brothers would like scream at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Well, her brother lived downstairs and he got in trouble with the police. And one point he came upstairs and punched a hole through her wall. It was an adventure.
Yes. I remember coming and visiting you. I believe that was when I discovered the Numa Numa Hay song.
Oh, yeah. Good times. So when did you move to Toronto?
I moved to Toronto in the summer of 2006 when I decided to marry you.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So I came up and you were in the original House of Cheese.
Yes, we lived in a House of Cheese.
Which was not a house actually made of cheese, although we did get a house made of cheese for our wedding.
We should post links in the...
We can do that.
But the House of Cheese was just a house in which copious amounts of macaroni and cheese was consumed because it was Canada, and that's what you do in Canada is eat a lot of macaroni and cheese.
Well, you were a bunch of expats. Were any of you Canadian in that group? Okay, so these are medievalists, all American,
mm-hmm.
all enjoying their cheeses.
Yes.
All was sort of in, you kind of allied yourself based on who was chatty in the morning and who
that was. Is very true. That was an interesting roommate situation where there was the two of us who got up early in the morning both understood that we did not talk to each other. We got up and we had our tea and we sat at the table and we read our books and we understood there was a simpatico to it.
Very nice. So that was the sort of situation I came into because you were about to, we were going to move into a new place together
yeah.
that had been set up, a place owned by a professor. But we hadn't moved into there yet. So we were sort of just
camping out
in your strange little attic room.
Yes, I did have an attic room.
And yeah, then so we got married, went to Prince Edward Island for a week,
mm-hmm.
had a strange little hobbit as our, as the guy at our front desk. Remember the little curly hair guy?
I do. I do remember Frodo.
And then we came back and moved into the Rig House.
Yes.
Which has subsequently been owned by various or rented by various other friends of
ours. Yeah, so we lived in the house that was owned by the semi-retired, world-renowned professor of medieval Latin. Then from there we moved in, like our lives have been a sitcom. We moved from there into the sexton's cottage at the back of the Anglo-Catholic Church.
Yes.
From which I was ordained, and then, I wasn't ordained at the church, but like
your home,
church. My spiritual home, and then we moved into two different rectories at Grace Church on the Hill.
So yeah, and again, like you said, we never did the kind of the hunting around, the kind of frantically trying to find housing, and
which is good because Toronto,
and also, but we also had very strange kind of like personal relationships with the people we were renting from.
Oh, the 3 years that we didn't get to take a hot shower.
Yeah.
That was the best.
That teaches you that you can adjust to quite a bit.
Pretty much.
When we had to draw our bath.
When you just keep talking to all the wardens of the parish, and they're like, oh, you really have no hot water? We never realized that. And then somehow nothing would happen. And then we'd have another conversation with a different person in the church. And they're like, what? You mean you don't have any hot water? And then nothing would happen.
It was strange.
It was, yeah.
And that was also the place where we got the very sick dog.
Oh, I remember Lucas.
That we had before Bilbo for like a week before my...
died under our care.
Wait, he did not die under our care. He died under the care of the nice Russian girl who took him off of our hands and actually sort of knew what she was doing and managed to like get him taken care of so that he had a happy few weeks before he passed away. So that was the nice thing.
So to preserve this podcast from just becoming a step-by-step reminder of...
Show me that smile again.
What did you like about... What were your favorite memories in Toronto?
I mean, I love Toronto because of the people that I met there, right? You know, I mean, you joke about how I showed up and stole your friends. But the fact is, I was able to very quickly ingratiate myself. And I'd met, you know, your friends before I moved up there, right? Like, I had been in your strange little vampire games.
Oh, I did play a vampire game.
So I got to sort of, you know, meet people through that. And yeah, I was able to sort of just springboard right away. I mean, I eventually would meet people through work, but it was nice to kind of have a sort of, you know, clued into social group, both with church and through your school. And then eventually, yeah, I'd meet my own friends through work and the theater, you know, when I got my theater company 2 years later, when I started being with Monkey Man, I think that was kind of what took off and I started getting into the theater scene. And yeah, so it was the people. It was the folks that I could call up, you know, randomly to come over and play board games. It was people that, you know, you would sort of meet up and do kind of weird theater readings with. It was, I don't know, that was the key for me. That was what really I loved, and that community that developed. And, you know, we had a lot of different, I don't know, there was a lot of different sort of circles that we kind of bounced around between, but I feel like we always managed to be a center. Like we drew, I think maybe just because we're lazy, but no matter where we lived, we kind of would draw folks to us. And I mean, you like to bake and you like to entertain and, you know, I like to have folks around. So I don't know, there was something very homey about it. And I very much suspect we will find a similar situation here in Ohio. But right now, where we don't really know a lot of people, I'm very much missing that aspect of things. Yeah. How about you?
Oh, I think similar. Like I have said, you know, many times that I lived in Toronto twice as long as I've lived anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how old am I? I'm 34. So, I mean, a third of my life was lived in Toronto. And so I have a network there in a way that I've never had a network, just because there's, you know, I was in medieval studies and then I was in seminary and then I was in the church. Like I just have layers of my decade plus that I spent there in terms of the friends and the people that I connected with. And that's, I don't know, there's something very rich.
Well, and you got the experience being the person seeing people leave, right?
Well, and that's the thing, right? As much as that is true, it's also very true that especially over the last 3 or 4 years, it has been a process of watching people leave, right? Because especially since I came to Toronto in to do my PhD, and I, through various circumstances, finished my PhD significantly more quickly than most people in my cohort.
Yeah.
And even most of them, you know, they ended up sticking around for a year or two doing...
Picking up postdocs.
Yeah, picking up postdocs or teaching for a year at U of T or something like that. So that by the time, you know, we really got around to the last few years is when they all started leaving.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, it's funny that originally... I mean, the joke was always that of all the people who came into the PhD program in our year, I was the one that was convinced it was the only thing I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right? There were a lot of other people who were kind of ambivalent about it or, maybe just not completely set on an academic career, but I was single-mindedly focused on that being my goal in life. And so it was just very kind of unexpected that I was one of the people who ended up kind of leaving that.
But leaving it after you completed it,
well,
right?
I did, but that's only because my dissertation advisor was a crazy man who wanted to force me to finish, right? I mean, if it had not been for that, I would not have finished my dissertation. I would have just dropped out of the program. And where was I going with this? So then I was so committed to Toronto, and I was convinced that I had made Toronto my home and never would have anticipated leaving. And then this opportunity to come here and come to Kenyon came along, and I just couldn't.
Well, I think it's one of those things where we joke about the only thing that would tempt us to leave.
Yeah.
Canada would be, I don't know, if Kenyon offered us a job.
Yeah.
And then Kenyon offered us a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, life is unexpected and life is unpredictable. And I am ecstatic about this opportunity we have now. And as I said, the Toronto was, our relationship to Toronto was changing, I think is fair to say, just given the people who were coming and going. But it was a wonderful time, wonderful city, and a wonderful community that we made there.
I think the fact that, you know, you arrived in Toronto, a kind of still borderline Baptist, and then left it an Anglican priest. People can sort of see your spiritual.
Well, and I think that's what makes, the community that I had in Toronto so fascinating, because it wasn't just like when I first came to Toronto, the only people I knew there were other medievalists.
Yeah.
Most of them not Canadian.
Yeah.
And by the time I left Toronto, I really felt like I was a inhabitant of the city, right? Like I knew people and was part of, I had a role, right? I was a priest. I was serving the community.
No, yeah, and you were key then.
It's amazing. I think what makes Toronto a fascinating place is it is just a period. I lived there throughout a period of incredible transformation in my life. Instead of, you know, it's very possible that I could have gone to school somewhere as a medievalist and then realized that I was feeling called to ministry and leaving that place and going to another city and another seminary and then getting a job. So, you know, and it the last 10 years of my life could very much have taken place over several cities and several places.
Sure, yeah.
But the fact that I kind of went through all of those stages in life in one, and I've kind of always joked that, like, not only was it in one city, it was in one, like, so there was the medieval studies program at U of T and the seminary that I went to at U of T.
It was like two blocks away.
Well, yeah. And then the church that we were living in, the sexton's cottage at the church we were living in, was itself like a 5-minute walk, if that.
Yes.
From the seminary. And then the parish where I worked for the last 4 years was, you know,
four subway stops?
Not even three.
Oh, yeah.
And walkable. If I, you know, if you wanted to walk up the hill, it was a half an hour walk.
Yeah.
So it's been a very small, small world that we have lived in, although it has encapsulated many changes in our life. So it's that makes it a fascinating place. And I think it's why we ended up developing such, I think part of it is that we are just people who like people.
Yes.
But I think it's also just and I mean, from your own perspective, you know, you worked at Chapters for so long, but then you also had all of your theater programs and your work with standardized patienting and your work with the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And, you know, you had various communities.
Well, yeah. And I came into the, I had no idea what was going to happen when I arrived in Toronto. I was woefully unprepared. I sort of had this teaching, I had this, you know, Tennessee teaching license, but no idea how to in any way make it work in Canada. And information was available. I could have done the research and figured it out, but I didn't, because that's not my style, apparently, being prepared for things.
You also thought that you just needed to bring like two plates and a bowl, and that was all we needed. Which, going back to this whole moving thing, maybe that
right?
would have been.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I arrived, you know, and just was looking for any kind of work. And wound up working in the bookstore, which would be, you know, I worked in two different bookstores while there in Toronto. And I was there from, 2006 till Amanda was born, and then a little bit after. So, you know, about 7 years working in the bookstore. Started doing theater in 2008. So I had about 7 years of Toronto theater. CAMH, I was there for 5 years. And, you know, and I sort of, Rachel and I sort of joke about the fact that, you know, you kind of date things by how old you are, and I date things by years, right? So, you know, 2006 is an important year, because that's when I moved to Toronto. 2008 was when I switched stores, and we moved into the church, and when you swap, that was a huge year for us. That was when we immigrated. That's when you went into seminary. And then 2011, when we started up at Grace. And so, but then there was, like, 2011 to 2013, when Amanda was born, and now 2015, right? But
yeah, like that whole period is just a blur. Like, since Amanda was born, it's just all, like...
But even that, like, 2011 to 2000, sort of, you know, 13, I mean, again, it's been, as we've entered the working world, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's time has begun to speed up again.
Yeah.
And now that we're Kenyan, it's sort of slowed down, because we're kind of...
Well, I think it's whenever you're trying to start something new and learning something new, and like I think that makes time move slower. And then when you're in a groove,
then it takes off again.
Yeah, and I think because I think about my time in Toronto, and like 2004 to 2008 feels like so much happened.
Yeah,
right. Like that is a period of so much trend because it is that period where my life. I mean, we got married. But also, like, my whole perspective on what my life was going to be was kind of turning upside down.
Well, 2008 was just a ridiculous year.
Well, 2008 was the year that I finished my dissertation and went to seminary and we moved. And, like, that's the year, I think, when our lives really changed. But then when I realized, like, that was not even half... Like, that period was not even half of my time in Toronto.
No.
That 2008 to 2015 just feels like it... You know, like, there were 3 years of seminary and then 4 years at Grace. And... the fact that, like, the 4 years I was at Grace is the same length of time as that 4 years between starting grad school and going, like, it just, my brain wants to explode. But I think part of that is, again, that whole, like, having a baby thing in the first, like, year and a half of the baby's life just... Disappears into a void of...
Meconium.
Basically, yes.
Now, we've sort of looked at the you know, transition spiritually, but I'm interested not just in sort of what geeky things you have kind of picked up, like Farscape and whatnot, but how do you think Toronto shaped your geek world?
Oh, I don't know. I mean...
Like, just like, you know, how you interacted socially with folks, because you had your sort of, you had different periods of time, right, where you had your TV watching crowd, where you were watching live TV with folks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think watching TV with people has always been a big part of my geeky...
But you haven't, you haven't done live TV watching in a few years, right?
Well, that's true. I think that just is a change in how we view TV and also a change in life circumstance, right? It's a lot harder to get together and do live TV.
I'm thinking about, because you guys, you had your Lost viewings for such a long time.
I would say, the two main live things is you and I did Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
With a group of people.
Going out, yeah.
And then
only after we sort of were... doing like the tail end of Battlestar Galactica because we came to it late.
And then we had, I would say it was about half of BSG because we came to BSG because we watched at least seasons 3 and 4 live.
Oh, okay.
And maybe part of season 2.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
No, we weren't that late.
I thought we were late.
No. And then the Lost crowd. Like I had a crowd of people that I watched, my old roommates actually. But I mean, I think just watching live TV isn't really
as much. Is a thing that's
kind
of falling out?
Yeah, I think that's just not so much. It's become, I think one of the big things is with my friends Alice and Cheryl watching, like we watched through all of Buffy and all of Angel and all of Firefly and all of Farscape. And that was just I think, especially after I started... you know, left the school rhythm and moved into like actual grown-up working rhythm, having regular TV dates to watch stuff with them was a really good thing that I needed.
To keep connecting?
Yeah, to keep connecting and just to have reasons to get together with people, right? Because sometimes you just need, it's like prayer, you need... the discipline sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Much as one loves to pray, you need the discipline to keep your life in rhythm. So just like it creates that discipline of staying connected with people.
Whereas I think I just fell out. I mean, I became such a huge podcast junkie that like television viewing really, I mean, not that I did a ton, I guess I did a fair amount of TV watching.
Well, I feel like you aren't as into stories as I am.
I like stories.
Well, I know you like stories, but I feel like you don't... Just sort of like why I stopped... I refused to watch Lost with you because you wouldn't shout at the TV with
well,
me.
Well, I don't need to shout at the TV.
Unless... I know, but you're supposed to shout at the TV.
I shouted at Facebook while watching Gotham. Does that count?
No, because you were hate watching Gotham.
Well, yes. That was bad for my soul, so I stopped eventually. A big thing that changed with you was you went from being a gamer to no longer a gamer.
Yeah, I think it just wasn't. I think the gaming crowd that we had at Kenyon was like my speed. And I think it was, this is like a life lesson.
Yeah.
Right? I think the gamers that we, like the friends that you stole from me, who were my original gaming group in Toronto.
That you would do 7 hour.
I think it was a real, like those, the people in that group are still some of our closest friends. Yeah. Right?
Oh, definitely.
But at some point, I had to realize that what I wanted out of gaming was not what they wanted out of gaming.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't particularly interested in the deep storytelling potential.
The metaphysics and the politics.
No, I just basically wanted to bash things.
You did just want to bash things, which is why I
ran...
And
have fun.
That's why I ran a paranoia game. Was that the last thing you played was maybe. My paranoia game?
But it was a realization of like, I am not having fun at these events. Like this is no longer becoming a thing that is recreational to me. I can either like push and try to make them all game in a way that is what I will enjoy. Or I could say, all right, we'll hang out and socialize at other times, but I'm going to let you game the way, like play games the way you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that wasn't the right thing to do.
But. Well, let's see. For me, gaming just became as adult things happen, gaming fell out just because it's so hard to coordinate the same four people.
Well, and I think I also got more into different types of board games. Like discovering, because I have expressed on this podcast many times how much I hate Settlers of Catan.
Yes.
And I...
Which is a great game.
It is a terrible game!
It's a wonderful game.
It's not that it's... But, like, the mechanics of the... Like, the basic trading mechanism mechanics of that game are put to much better use in so many other games. And the other problem with Settlers of Catan is that if you are losing, if you're not, like, winning, it becomes very obvious very quickly, and then there's just, like, nothing you can do, and you're just forced to endure this game until someone else finally wins.
I politely disagree. You can deny people access to sheep, and that is a great power, no matter...
But what's the fun of just denying people access to sheep?
Because then you can control the sheep port and control the universe.
But you're not able to build anything if you're, like, obviously losing, and someone's road has blocked you off from anything else, and then you're just stuck there, and maybe you can deny other people's sheep, but you still can't do anything.
I blame the fact that the last time you played Settlers, you were, like... in a co-team with someone's sleepy sister who didn't understand the rules of the game.
My whole point is that I have discovered much better games and games that I really enjoy playing and that I like the informality and flexibility of casual tabletop gaming as opposed to role-playing games.
And that's the thing I've discovered. I mean, I still love role-playing games and I would love to get involved with role-playing. In fact, I've already signed up for the Mount Vernon and Knox County, Ohio Dungeons & Dragons group. But getting four random folks together, like just, you know, of my social group to play a night of board games or a one-shot role-playing game is so much easier than trying to get the same, you know, four or five people together for a long-form role-playing game. And even, like, one of the last campaigns I ran, my D&D game, I swore it was just going to be a series of one-shot adventures. And, you know, we weren't going to have story, but story crept in. Because the people I play with like story and like having long-term, long-form sort of adventures. But, yeah, I definitely board gaming is something. And maybe this is something that's happening all over the place. Maybe board games are just, you know, sort of on the rise. But the fact that I can kind of have three or four random folks over and we can play a game and it's much less, there's less preparation, there's less there's less stress on it. Although, the last game I ran in Toronto was my D&D game with my friends that we all met each other through my brother and me, and the Adventure Zone fan group. And that was amazing. That was wonderful. It ended with them riding off on a ship to the moon with three horses named Travis Griffin and Justin McElroy.
Wow.
Because that is how we roll. So I definitely have seen a shift in my geekery in that way. And Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so I'm looking at my DVD shelf and sort of being like, when was the last time I sort of started putting DVDs in? Like, I had a period when I was like, I want to watch a movie. I want to, like, try to work through my DVDs. But movies are something that I really don't watch a lot of
anymore. I think
anymore.
That's a thing. Well, TV is so good.
TV is very good.
I find that, like, movies are the wrong length.
Yeah.
Well, like, they're too short and too long at the same time.
Oh, yeah, we've
right?
talked about
like,
that,
you
yeah.
can't. It's not like you can really get a great character arc and growth like you could see in several seasons of a TV show. But then it's not really like a short story either.
No.
Like it's, yeah.
There's like, especially, well, and all the kind of the quote unquote sort of geek genre stuff we yeah. like, right? Has to do all the origin things and it has to know now this is how Thorin came to be. This yeah. is how Iron Man came to be. You know, like you have to sort of tell that again and again and again and again. And yeah, it's not it lacks the strengths of quality TV, or you know, I guess there's sort of these anthology shows like American Horror Story and stuff where they're telling a kind of a complete story in one go. We really haven't gotten into those at all.
But those are still different than movies.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking
they're more like miniseries.
That's true. That is very true. So yes, I think the last, well, for you 11 years, for me 9 years, has definitely had an impact as one would expect it to have. Looking back, it's what I've been surprised by is that I have not left North America in over 10 years.
Which is very strange for you.
Well, because I traveled so much as a kid, right? Like yeah. I was back and forth with my folks in Nigeria and then just, you know, like we traveled a lot in high school and then even in college, you know, when I studied abroad. But the last time I left North America was when I went to England.
I think the only time I have is, it's weird. I did a lot of traveling in 2011.
I'm going to say, because you did your Israel
but I
trip.
I went to Israel and then I went to the UK
yeah.
for like 10 days.
Yeah.
As like a graduation present to myself.
Walking around in the damp.
Hey, that was an awesome trip.
Indeed.
I walked the St. Cuthbert's Way between England and Scotland. It was pretty cool.
It was indeed. So yeah, that's been an interesting, weird thing to kind of reconcile about myself is that I have been relatively a homebody for, and again, because we both grew up traveling, right? Like, and we both grew up moving around. You as a Navy brat, yeah. Me as a missionary kid. The idea of being in one place for practically a decade is pretty amazing.
I think it's very unusual for both of us. And I think the good side of our background is that it means, as much as I think we were both very happy to have that period to create the community that we were able to create in Toronto, it also means that we have the flexibility and the idea of, like, picking up our lives and starting somewhere new for a new adventure, opportunity. No. It's something that doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of, I think we have a lot of significant feelings about leaving Toronto.
Certainly.
But I think it also means that we, you know, the idea of starting somewhere new, and here isn't even like, it's not like it's totally new here because we know Kenyan and Gambier.
Well, it's familiar.
It's familiar.
But
not too familiar?
Not too familiar.
But it means that we can do that without being
precisely
overly daunted by it.
And we have, you know, sort of ideas of what the next few years are going to be like, but we don't know for certain. We don't even know for certain how long we're going to be here. But as you said, I think we are very open to the idea of adventure, the idea of, you know, seeing what this is going to be like.
Doing something new.
Yeah. And sharing that with Amanda and seeing how Amanda responds to it.
Amanda loves Kenyon.
Amanda does love Kenyon.
Oh my goodness. She loves this place already.
She likes saying Kenyon.
She likes saying Kenyon, but she seems to really like it.
No, she does. She loves
she likes
around.
Middle Path and she likes the rocks.
No, she likes her
we
clip-clop.
Were driving, she does like her little clip-clop Amish buggies. And when we were driving back to Kenyon, she was at one point going, I come in Kenyon, I come in Kenyon. And then when we drove up the hill into Gambier, she was just, yay, Kenyon.
No, that's really exciting.
Which is really adorable.
Getting to share that with her and seeing her grow up here. I mean, that mental image is such a huge appeal to me. And I think she would have been able to have a great childhood in Toronto. But there is something about sharing Kenyon in such a personal way.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to see where it goes.
Indeed.
Well, we're back. We'll see.
Yes, we'll try to have an actual topic with some content in it for next time.
We'll try to be here next time.
Yes.
But so, and again, if this is your first episode, we have quite a backlog where we are largely coherent, in many of them. You can go check out our Hannibal run-throughs.
Those were very good, yes.
those tend to go very well. And we've got a few blog posts. For a while, Rachel was watching Farscape.
Yeah, I should pick that up again.
And was blogging about it. I occasionally write strange parenting things or stuff about Lovecraft. But now you're going to be still blogging at Rev Rachel Rambles?
I am. I've been taking a slight break from blogging. Life has been crazy.
Life has been crazy. And I'm still, of course, doing Ask Lovecraft, so you can sort of be following us there.
But I'm RevRachelRambles.wordpress.com. I'll eventually buy the domain name.
Nice. Well,
but today is not that day.
No, today is not that day. But it is a day for reflection and excitement. And in the world of faith, family, and fandom, in no particular order, geek out, y'all.
Woo.
I thought I'd find a kindred spirit in you. Into all 33, all things I was into. We formed a duo, bought the t-shirts, I shared my water with you. It was a dream for me, but sometimes dreams fall through. Bastille Dan, we were chatting on Google like we always do. I said something about the Final Five arrow, you got so confused. I said, where are you? You said the start of season two. What do you mean? How could you not have finished BST? I said, frack, frack, fracking, frack. You said, what's that? What's that? I can't believe that you didn't finish BST. I said, why? You said, I just got busy. As an act of contrition, watch them all now or you can't go home again. It's a litmus test, and if you don't pass, then it's 6 degrees of separation. You could tie me up or tie me down, you could burn me flesh and bone. I will bring down the hand of God, yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown. Oh, 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 how can it be? How could you not have finished BST? I said frack, frack, fracking, frack. You said, what's that, what's that? I can't believe that you didn't finish BST. I said, why? You said, I just got busy. How about Colonial Deo? Tell me, does that sound familiar? Last gleam of cobalt, oh, you've seen that one, you must remember. How can you bear the thought of not knowing what happens after? I'd tell you who the Cylons are, but you'd insist, no spoilers. Just come clean, just go ahead and finish BST. Ooh, frack, frack, fracking, frack. You said, what's that, what's that? I just can't believe you didn't finish BST. I said, why? You said, I just got busy. Just got busy. Just got busy.